This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So it's rather nice, isn't it? What a gorgeous day. Yeah. So very, very VIP guest today on the podcast.
Yes, very
I'm
exciting.
Squealing with joy.
Except I have heard. I have heard there's a feature wall.
Okay. Yes. You've got to behave yourself.
What shall I not say?
You're going to say, aren't you? Oh, well, my God, you can't take you anywhere.
Well, it might be a nice one.
I love this woman, like proper girl crush going on, so don't upset her, okay?
Okay.
You're your best behaviour.
I'm a bit scared now. Come on, then. Let's go knock at the door.
Be nice. Just. Brilliant. Rock and roll.
Oh, that's the picture.
This is the lady of the house putting out a bin.
To give you a hand?
No, God, no. Absolutely no.
Blue recycling bins. That's very posh. Anyway, please come in.
Oh, welcome. Having us, hun. This is all God, very
pleasure.
Exciting. Which way are we going?
Go in the kitchen that way, just because we can get...
Ooh, return and blush.
Straight in.
Oh, she's in. She's loving it.
God, I'm so like, oh God, I hope they think my house is nice.
Do you?
Of course.
You've been judged by us.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
also
I think being experts like you are, you're probably very good at going, this is what this house says about this person. So you're like taking a deep,
feel that?
Yeah,
quick,
I do.
Think of something that this house is saying about that person. And welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast that tells you all you need to know about interiors and how to make that knowledge really work in your own home.
Thank you to DFS for sponsoring the third series of the podcast. DFS is an incredible 50 years old this year and is celebrating 5 decades of bringing the joy of comfort and style to UK living rooms.
And talking of joy, today's guest knows all about the subject, having quite literally written a book on it. It's called Happy, Finding Joy in Every Day and Letting Go of Perfect.
She also hosts a hugely successful podcast called Happy Place, where she talks to inspiring individuals about how to unlock your inner happiness. That's on top of a hugely successful career as a TV and radio presenter, beginning at just the age of 15. Still doesn't look a day older either, I'd say.
I love you.
And somehow she's still found time to design and curate ranges of makeup, clothing, and of particular interest to the Great Indoors, homewares. She is, of course, the fabulous Fern Cotton, and she has very kindly invited us into her home for the final episode of our fabulous third series. Fern, your home is giving me all the feels.
Oh, good.
It's light and bright. I mean, it is a sunny day today, but
It's fabulous.
Lovely. Look at that pink.
I know. You've already seen your colour pink, haven't you, Kate? It's a big tick from you.
Yes,
love a bit of blush.
A little bit of blush pink.
I love a bit of blush. It's my favourite. I absolutely love it. I'm glad you like it.
Were you a bit nervous?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have been putting kids' toys in boxes and, like, just making it look neat because it's quite chaotic. I always think that people assume I'm going to live in, like, a really edgy, like, weird house, but I'm really old school. I like cosy, traditional, old homes. So I think people are usually sort of a bit shocked, like, oh, it's quite sort of homely and countryside-ish rather than it being sort of edgy and whatever.
Oh, there's a little rock and roll touch. I'm looking at these lamps over the island.
Do you think? I think they're a bit...
They're granny punk.
Oh, are they granny punk?
Good.
Granny
punk.
Granny punk, that's a new thing. Maybe so, that's my style.
Just to describe these lamps, there's three enormous silk drum pendant lights with drippings of kind of like... They almost look like necklaces, don't they, dripping all over them?
Little faux beads, flowers.
Lots of fringing.
Fringing is very on trend.
I mean, they're really bohemian, aren't they?
Yeah, I like a bit of bohemian. I'm into that. I like anything that feels quite sort of natural and not too considered or thought about too much. It's a bit higgledy-piggledy, but sometimes it goes a bit too higgledy-piggledy.
Touch the bonkers about these lampshades, but I love them. But like you say, everywhere else I'm looking, you know, you've got lovely strip floorboards here, beautiful country style kitchen, but all quite neutral and light. Yeah. Is it important that you have a space filled with lots of light?
Yeah, I know that it's really trendy to have sort of dark grey or a dark, very dark blue wall or even black, but I couldn't. I need uplifting, airy, comforting, homely. It's so important, I think, when you get home that you feel calm. And those dark colours to me, I mean, they look beautiful on like Instagram or whatever, but I personally can't live in a space that dark, no way.
Your beautiful kitchen here with an island that we're all leaning up against then leads through into this sort of like garden room conservatory.
Yeah, so this one we moved in was actually three rooms. We had like a weird concertina wall here and then a very tiny kitchen and then a blocked off conservatory, which made no sense to me. And because my husband and I love cooking and we've got two kids and I've got two stepkids, so four kids often, we spend a lot of time in the kitchen. So we needed a room that was really useful and big. So we just
knocked it all through. So this is the heart of the home then in here.
Absolutely.
This is where you all hang out together.
Yeah.
The engine room, I love
it. It really is. And I've always got weekends like friends sat on these stools here and I'm baking something and we're drinking tea and gossiping, or like people just sit on the counters and we all chat, and it feels quite sort of like a bit like a sixth form common room at weekends. But in a really nice sort of slightly more sophisticated way, I hope. But it's definitely the place we hang out the most in. And I know that because we have to revarnish the floorboards at least once a year because there's so much worn floor from people.
I want to know if you grew up in a house where the kitchen was the heart of the home, so it's an extension of that, or whether actually having not had that, perhaps growing up with a small kitchen, that was very important to you that you create this space.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't the heart of our home. I had a really hard-working mum who did like full jobs at one time and a dad who worked full-time, who's only just retired like last week. So it wasn't like big home-cooked meals and everyone around the kitchen table at all. It was very much like quick, get it done, get it out, or quite often...
So it was a super practical room in the kitchen.
It was a really practical room, but it wasn't where anyone hung out at all.
You aspire to it, don't you? I'm an only child and grew up with just my mum, and we had a very small kitchen. And I went out with my first boyfriend for about 2 years because he was one of five and they spent all their weekends in the kitchen.
That.
And every meal was late and there was shouting and rioting. And I loved it. And then he moved out and got a place on his own. It was like, I think we're done. And I realised afterwards that there's a huge attraction to that wonderful sort of riotous kitchen. I love it.
Like sometimes it does feel quite stressful when we've got all four kids and we're trying to cook. Everyone wants to eat at different times and likes different foods. But actually, if I can rise above all of that and sort of mitigate that, oh my God, no one's eating or whatever, it is quite beautiful chaos. And this is the room for that, for sure.
So I want to ask, what are your top tips for designing a sociable family kitchen dining space?
I think if you've got the room, an island, definitely, with bar stools, because people can just sort of casually pop in, have a cup of tea. If you can fit a little sofa in, I think that's always quite nice, again, just for people to relax in and and chill out. Our latest addition to the kitchen, which I love, is my son's new fish tank. And that for the kids has been the cutest thing ever, because they just, all the kids just sit and they stare at it for hours.
It's mesmerizing. It's gorgeous.
And I love that it's become for the kids like a real cute little focal point of the kitchen. So that's definitely a really lovely new addition to this space.
Oh, well, I think it's really working. I mean, I could hang out here all day, but we've got a whole house to go look at.
We have. So look, conservatory's there. You can kind of see it. It's just where we eat, and it's pink and blue. Pink's like all over this house. But is that your favourite, Kate?
Because your shirt is also pink and blue, you see. And I always say, you wear your decor. No, it's not a fluke. Let's say it's planned.
There's a science behind it.
Yeah, you're clearly drawn to those colours.
I do. I love, love pink. The dark blue's been a later addition sort of throughout the home, but pink is kind of everywhere. Probably much to my husband's disgust.
Well, what does he think? Does he get involved?
Luckily, he's like a very calm, placid person who just sort of lets me get on with it.
Yeah.
So I will admit he has very little to say in anything, but mainly because he's not as bothered as I am. Like, I love creating colour and space, so that's kind of my passion, whereas he's just sort of like, he's quite messy as well. So I have to contain his stuff into areas, which I will show you in a minute in the next room. So take a deep breath and try not to get stressed about it. But yeah, I like things. Although there's a lot of stuff in the home, I know where everything is, and it's ordered chaos.
So it's that, yes, it's that balance.
It's not a minimalist home in the slightest, but I know where everything is. And if someone comes in and moves something, or, you know, once the kids have played, everything has to go back to where I know it belongs. Real control freak.
I'm a bit scared.
Yeah.
You're scared. You're exactly the same. Your house is like millimetre perfect. I'm not having either of you around my place.
Yeah, we're not coming anymore. Like,
so I will now take you into what the kids call the telly room. Through here. It's a weird shaped room, so it was kind of difficult to know what to do with it, but this end is where we watch TV and relax, and again, there's lots of pink.
Oh, it smells so good. I've just been hit by the... What?
There's a feature.
Oh, no. I told her to behave herself.
House of Hackney Wall, do you not like her feature walls?
Come on.
She doesn't like them.
I can't begin to tell you, Fern, how much I'm enjoying this right now. Kate is literally spluttering. It is... priceless.
Attention.
You know what? I think it's gorgeous paper. I love that paper, and I have thought about it in my own house, but it's so beautiful. I want more.
Yeah, it's too expensive. That's why I got a little tiny sliver.
180 quid a roll, isn't it?
I can't do the whole bloody wall. I'd love to do the whole room in it, but
yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
So it's a teeny tiny sliver.
But you know what is brilliant about it? It isn't just a random feature wall in that alcove, because you've got these green bookshelves.
I know, they're gorgeous.
And so that picks out and also looks like a different feature. So it's not just on its own. I have a problem with the feature wall when it's on its own.
Right, okay, good. I've tried to tie in colours and stuff. And again, there's lots of bits and bobs, and it's probably quite chaotic, but
no, it feels
I love
really
the colours.
No, it's lovely. Yeah. And actually, the view from that window, which is the tree, a beautiful green tree.
My favourite window.
And then the green bookcase is in here. So it's bringing a bit of that outside in.
So this is my husband's corner that he's allowed. And I've actually...
he's allowed. I love that.
I like that corner.
So much. I mean, usually it's gross. There's 1,000 guitars, but he's taken most of them with him because he's working.
We should probably just say for listeners who your husband is.
Yeah, so he's in a band called Reef, and that he plays guitar, so hence there's all amps. But this is where he sort of sits, plays guitar, records stuff, I don't know. But I love that window, is just a dream. I love it. I love
I
the
think
original
you've given him the
thingies.
Best bit.
I know, I don't know. I really have. And then this is our family wall. We have all of our pictures of our family and people we love. And
that's
again, it's all
so
chaotic.
Lovely.
Nothing matches, but I kind of like that.
So you've created this, or did you do it together?
No, you're assuming that my husband has again any say in anything going on in my home. It was very much me just going, this is our family wall. But there's loads of pictures of his mum, because she passed away about 13 years ago. So she is all over our house. So the kids kind of talk about her, and she's sort of here, although she's not.
That's lovely.
So she features heavily throughout our whole home, all through different stages of her life. That's a beautiful picture of her there.
Isn't it gorgeous? What I love as well is all the frames are completely different.
Yeah.
It's a real...
some people's nightmare, but I quite like that feel of just chaos and it being
There is a thread to it, though, isn't there? In that they're all family photos, so it doesn't matter that they're all different sizes and different frames. You know, people worry all the time about creating gallery walls. And you've got to have some commonality to it. So,
Make it all hang together.
To make it hang together. Yeah. And that works because they're all different frames. But what's brilliant is actually they're all from different eras, aren't they? Different styles.
Yeah, so it makes
sense.
But it's
all a family picture.
Because it feels organic.
Exactly.
Like you literally haven't just gone out and bought all your frames in one go.
No, it's sort of been an incremental project and it very much looks like that, I think. And I'm not a uniformed sort of person. Like, I do love when I see on Instagram a perfect wall with, like, matching frames. They've been measured inch by inch, but I'm just not that sort of person. And it would feel contrived, so I just...
But it's also really stressful because my husband wanted a wall like that with all matching black frames, and they do look great until one of the kids walks past and slightly knocks one, and then they're off.
Yeah, it
and
looks
I think
horrendous.
He spends quite a lot of time walking around the house just going left up, yeah. right down.
This one got worried.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely bloody mess.
So we're settled down now in the sitting room in Fern's house. I'm sitting next to the lovely House of Hackney feature wall.
We positioned you opposite
that. I'm enjoying
flinching,
that very much.
Toes curled in our shoes.
Which brings me on to, Fern, let's talk about what makes you happy in your home. Is there a sort of formula for finding happiness in your home?
I think it's a very bespoke practice. I don't think it can be sort of one size fits all because we all react so differently to colour and texture. For me, it's definitely about light and having a lot of light in my house. I don't want to walk into somewhere that feels suppressing or dark or suffocating. And I kind of, as I've got older, have realised what colours really work for me. And they are those kind of dusty pinks, dusty, mossy, greeny colours and things that feel very grounding to me. And I figured that out quite late down the line, I think. I've only really got into my groove with colour in the last sort of couple of years, but they're all colours that, make me just feel calm and very rooted.
Well, colour is so instrumental, isn't it, to wellbeing and emotion. Certain colours, like we all know green represents well-being, but it's like different tones of green affect people in different ways. So for some people, it would be that very punchy emerald green. For other people, it'd be a dark, foresty, racing green. For you, it's more of the mid-tone, mossy green. So I think, you're so right, acknowledging that colour has that impact on us and then really investigating.
Do you have a sort of recipe for people who don't, perhaps are feeling overwhelmed by all the colours and all the styles or don't know how to find their happy? Is there a place you would advise people to start?
I think finding one colour you really like is a good place to start. I think colour's always probably simpler than texture or shape or design. You know, I think we'll all be drawn to design. Like, I'm not big on modern furniture. Don't really like mid-century modern even. I like really old school kind of comfy stuff. Yeah. And I think we all know, whether that's a nostalgic throwback to our childhood or to an era that we like, we can identify with that. So you might be able to find that for yourself. But I think colour's really easy because you can literally walk out the front door, look at trees, flowers, the sky, and see what that reaction is. If you just try and mitigate all the crap in our heads worrying about school runs, work, whatever, and just think about the simple things, those colours will resonate in a way with you and you'll know what that reaction is.
So you're saying look at the colours and try not to be judged about whether you like it visually,
or if it's
but see how you react.
What's your feeling?
So it's your
feeling around
when
it?
You look at a colour, that's the first thing you go off.
Without a doubt, because that's my whole house. I don't know what's in trend, home interiors wise at all. I've got no idea. I go purely on, this space makes me feel really nice and this colour makes me feel really calm, or this shape really is something really romantic about it, or whatever. I don't really care. And same with clothes. I don't care what's in fashion. It's all about what makes me... It's all those feelings, like feeling good and connecting with that.
I've got a stat.
Oh, gosh.
Go for it.
I've got a colour stat. This is our sponsors, DFS, did a survey of about 1,100 people to find out which colours are linked to which emotions. So they found that blue is linked to energy and happiness. Mm. Probably no surprises there. And pink is most associated with a feeling of contentment. So you're
rocking
both those. I just did a job recently which discovered that we spend 90% of our time indoors and 70% of that is in the house or in our homes. So, I mean, that's just an extraordinary...
And
I was completely floored.
We
are
time.
Asleep and we're travelling to work and we're being in work and being in offices and just being in our houses. But so obviously that kind of makes it super important that our houses reflect who we are and make us happy. But also I think that green, the green coming through as a colour, is a reflection of that because we're trying to connect more with the outdoors.
Yeah, well,
that's
definitely.
Why this room works so perfectly. So out of the view at the back here, you've got that gorgeous green from the tree connected to the bookcases either side. And then we're sat on this lovely plush green velvet sofa. And then you've also got some indoor house plants in here too. So the whole green story is working the full length of this room.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So our house is weirdly laid out, so it's all a bit higgledy-piggledy, but it kind of works for us. So this room we're about to walk in was kind of like a weird cinema room, which I have no, you know, desire to have. So this is our bedroom.
Mind the step,
Kate. Okay. It's a tiny annoying step that everyone trips over.
I'll just staunch the blood.
I love my bedroom so much because, as you can feel, it's really cool always because it's that basement feel. And it's probably the quietest bedroom in the house because we're half below ground, so we don't really hear all of those buses and planes up there.
Yes, it's
and
an
stuff.
Interesting choice to have the basement as the main bedroom and not go up to the top to the light and
yeah. No, I wanted
bright.
It being really cozy, like a kind of lovely womb-like room.
But it's very soft in here. The palette's very soft. Again, we've got the soft pinks
and yes, minty green.
There's lots more fringing and sort of bohemian tassely. Lacy detailing. It's quite feminine, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I do like everything quite sort of soft. And although I'm not a very girly person, I do like my home to feel quite feminine, weirdly. I don't know, maybe it's just that sort of softer, kind of nurturing feeling to it.
A beautiful Anna Heyman. Is that Anna Heyman Designs Light?
Yeah, she lives down the road from me in Lewis. A really nice designer,
Yeah, it's really beautiful, that. It's really beautiful.
I love that green.
Loads of cushions, fan. You're sharing my love of the cushion.
I nicked some of those off
Can we count how many on the bed?
Oh, it's silly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nine cushions on the bed!
So when Jesse comes in to get into bed, does he just, does he notice, does he mind, does he throw them off?
I don't know, because I go to bed so way before him. He's in the dark, finds his way through a mountain of pillows to somehow find how to get into the duvet.
I've been banned from putting more than two, and even that makes me cross.
Your husband's very dictatorial like that, isn't
he? Well, he likes what he likes. Shall we just say that?
Yeah, no, I think because I like that feminine, girly thing, I'm always like, More things. Yeah.
And also when you've got little kids, cushions are great because you can have fights with them and bundles and avalanches.
So if we go next door to the left, we've got a bathroom that was an office when we moved in. It was like a really weird, pokey kind of office room. And I knew I wanted a bathroom next to my bedroom. So this room probably changed, you know, quite dramatically.
And when do you use this room most?
Well, at 6 o'clock every night, I have to beg my son to get in this bath, which is super annoying. So it's definitely like the kids' bath time bath. And then if I'm not too knackered, I'll have a nice bath and a read with that light on, the
pendant
light on.
Yeah, I mean, this chandelier that's hung nice and low over the bath is just gorgeous.
Yeah,
is that on a dimmer?
No, it's not.
It's just quite a nice dim light.
Yeah. Me and Jesse both quite obsessed with lighting. Like, that's his thing, lighting. His mum was really big on creating mood in a room through lighting. And he comes in the house every night if we're eating dinner or whatever. Candles go on, dimmers. Like, he's really into that sort of ambience and creating an atmosphere. So he's very good with what bulb goes where.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, he's got it right, hasn't he?
Well, there's lots.
And I've been looking at all the lights. There's brilliant ones. Mm. Yeah.
So then, if we back out of here, we can go into... Oh, that's a gross little laundry room. Tumble dryers and stuff in it.
Oh, no, but we love... Oh, I love a laundry room.
I need to make it look Instagram worthy.
It's a cupboard under the stairs, fans. That's what it is. It's
disgusting.
It's a cupboard under the stairs. You do not need to worry about that for Instagram, I'm sure.
So this was my son's room, but it's now also been infiltrated by my daughter because she didn't like sleeping in her own room. So She still has a bedroom upstairs with all her stuff in, but she sleeps in Rex's room in a bunk bed.
With them together.
They sleep together. Because she feels safe in the same room. So, and he was so fine about it. He was like, I'd love her to stay in my room with me. So although she hasn't changed anything in the room, because he chose the wall colour after you tipped me off about that.
So that was a conversation we had when we met last summer. We had a chat about designing kids' rooms, didn't we? And I said, whatever you do, let your kids have a say.
Colour.
And
it's he chose
this amazing colour. Sort of turquoise sea blue.
He's obsessed with the ocean. So everything is squids, octopuses, you know, he's completely obsessed. So,
and it's brilliant because it's a basement bedroom. So it sort of feels under the sea as
well. It does, doesn't it?
And they sleep really well because it's kind of dark. And, you know, when you turn the lights out, shut the curtains.
Thing, yeah.
And they're right next to us, which was the most important thing.
So remind me how old they are.
6 and 3. So they're still tiny and need to be really super close. I think one day we'll have a big shift when my stepkids move out and they'll probably migrate
upstairs
and have their own area like the stepkids do now. But for now, it's a good base.
So this is like your little underground
den.
It does feel like that.
I love it. And then next door to the kids. I think every space in the house is about practicality over design every time because I've got small kids and I think it will change down the line when the kids are older and they don't need to have 8,000 Sylvalian families. But at the moment, it is all about where do they want to hang out? And as soon as we moved in here, they started playing in that area straight away. So we ended up with sort of like a bit of a train set and a bit of a Sylvalian doll's house situation. I didn't, you know, not that there's space in this house anyway, but I didn't want there to be like a playroom where the kids can only play in this one designated area.
Yeah,
I just thought, you know, I want to hang out with my kids and for me to be cooking and be able to see them. So the whole house had to kind of be, you know, that layout was all about practicality with kids in mind.
So many people do have a lot of angst about being judged about what other people are going to think. If I do it grey, does that mean it's not going to be fashionable next year? If I do it pink, does that mean that's not going to be
people do worry, you know, about it, don't they? But also because it's a lot more money, you know, it's fine if you're, you know, spaffing 20 quid on a pair of sandals, but if you're spending, you know,
a lot of money.
200 on painting
but
a room,
even more reason not to listen to the trends in a way.
Because I think your home is an expression of who you are, you know, even if you're a neat or a messy person. I think it says a lot about how you operate mentally. And, you know, I guess it is quite exposing because people then are going, oh, this is what their home's like, and you can make certain assumptions. But actually, we are all complicated, imperfect, fallible human beings, and my home is certainly a representation of that, that, you know, I am a bit higgledy-piggledy with stuff, and I like lots of bits and bobs and, you know, creativity and that sort of eclectic sort of vibe. So I think, yeah, I'm not like a trendy minimalist type person, so therefore my home is not going to be like that.
You say you've got a lot of higgledy-piggledy, and I mean, I do love a bit of bits and bobs, I have to say myself. I am a collector of bits and bobs. There's plenty of them in my house. But that's because they're sentimental to me and they trigger memories and happy thoughts and feelings. Although there is a tipping balance, isn't there? And funnily enough, we've been quite rude about Marie Kondo on this podcast in the past. You know who she is?
Yes, the decluttering expert. I know. The folding pants.
Because, well, we...
Stroking the socks.
We maintain that we get our kicks in other ways other than folding clothes. But she did have... I did quite enjoy the show and I watched it with my husband as well.
Yeah, it's a lovely little show.
And we enjoyed washing up after dinner together after watching her programme.
Did she spark joy in washing up?
Well, yeah, we did it together. Yeah. We made it like a thing. Like, put some tunes
on. Date night
on.
Washing up.
Yeah,
it was. Sure. Let's just have a word with the man. Clearly we've been going wrong.
Yeah. Get your fairy liquid. Easy. Done. Easy.
Get your rubber gloves on.
Yeah.
That's a different show.
Sorry. I'm going too far. So, but essentially what was interesting was the dynamic between the couple through this decluttering and tidying process, in that a lot of relationships can fall under a lot of strain and pressure when the house is disorganized, when the space isn't flowing properly, when you're tripping over things, when you can't put your trousers away because the drawers are already bulging. True. So there is something in that too, isn't there, of yes, have the things you love, but then also know when to get rid of the stuff that you don't need.
Yeah, I'm massive on culling. I cull everything all the time, especially secretly the kids' toys.
Oh yes.
And
what
my
is
clothes.
Your secret to that? Because my son,
I do it when they're not here. Just literally.
He knows. Like, he, I swear, he has not played with, you know, he's 8. He won't have played with that like farmyard play kits for like five years. But he will know.
What you do, I did this with mine, is you pack them up into a box and you move them into a different room so that if he suddenly turns around and goes, where's that? You go, okay. Oh, I just put it in this cupboard for you, darling. Kept it safe for you. Really nice. And then you can get that out and then you squirrel something else, one in, one out.
My daughter's
and then from
more
the spare
savvy.
Room to the tip.
And what you have to do, Kate, what Marie Kondo, you have to pick up the thing and thank it, even if you don't want that $2.99 H&M vest that you bought on a holiday.
Thank you
for being my holiday T-shirt. And now it's time for you to go. You are looking at me like I've gone mad, but seriously, I quite enjoyed it.
It's cute. It's sweet. No, I do like a clear out. I may not actually be thankful.
Talk to your clothes. Though,
yes,
okay.
I may not do that.
That's a line crossed.
That's okay.
So, listeners, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this issue. Are you thanking your holiday clothes before you chuck them cruelly on the tip or the charity shop? Do come and find us on Instagram, where I'm mad about the house. Sophie is Sophie Robinson.
No, I'm not. Sophie Robinson Interiors.
Oh, God.
How long have we been doing this?
Sophie is Sophie Robinson Interiors, and Fern is Fern Cotton.
Next door to the kids' room, this was a tiny windowless bathroom that we've made into a little wardrobe area. Goals.
Oh no! Oh my God, let me in there!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
But this was a bathroom with a bath and a shower and a sink. Can you imagine?
Like, look at the handbag corner.
I'm now going to have a new co-host, which will be Fern, as Sophie will now never come out. Of the clothes closet. Yeah. So Fern and I will continue the show.
Yeah.
And
just leave me here.
My husband has two rails, and that's it. But it's
oh no,
me.
Sorry, can we just look at all the Polaroids of the shoes on the boxes?
That's what you're supposed
to
do.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know what's what. So I've been quite organised in this area.
So this, sorry, because I just went into a big fog at the beginning of this.
You were a bit overexcited, weren't you?
I got so overexcited.
So this was a bathroom, a spare bedroom where the kids' bedroom is, a cinema where my bedroom was, and then an office. So it was a completely different
use. So sorting out the layout
area
of this house has been a massive
mega redesign
to work out how it's going to work for you and your family and your needs.
But it's really interesting, isn't it? Because so many people do basement conversions now. Mm. You see a lot of them. And it's automatically, it's in the basement, therefore it's dark, therefore we'll make a TV room or cinema room and maybe a spare room, and basically creating a huge amount of space that no one's ever going to use.
I don't watch much telly.
Completely gone the other way and made it into the sort of quiet, dark family spaces and all the lighter, sort of more public spaces, for want of a better word, or upstairs. It's a really good use of a basement.
Yeah, it took a little while to work it out, but once we kind of committed to it, it felt really right, and it does definitely work for us all now.
Especially with the teenage stuff.
And then if we keep going up the stairs, on the left is Honey's room, which she doesn't sleep in, but she might one day. And it's just about, she loves kind of, you know, again, she wanted pink wallpaper and whatnot, so she's got this crazy
stalks,
or whatever they are, cranes, and a little tent.
And that light fitting looks familiar. You've got one like that,
I've got that one. Mine's bigger.
The IKEA dandelion.
Yes.
And it's got a little sofa bed, because if she does ever sleep up here and has a friend, then she's got a little sofa bed. But yeah, it's a bit kind of hectic, lots of kid stuff, but I think
what I notice is brilliant. I always tell people to do this: is round the whole of the edge of the room is shaker pegs.
Yeah, that's
so you can
they?
Hang as you've got hats and bunting and decoration, but also you can put hangers on them with clothes on. You can hang shoes. You can hang pictures. It's a really practical way to do a kid's room.
So you've got some chest of drawers in here. You've got some lovely pull-out trugs. So I'm guessing Honey
built them myself.
She did love a bit of flat pack.
Yeah,
but she can be encouraged to like put stuff away in those.
Yeah. She's pretty neat and tidy as well. She's,
is she?
Yeah, because she sees me like beavering away the whole time, clearing things up. She's really into it. Whereas my son is like, Jesse, just take shoes off, kick him in the corner, coat on the floor, whatever. So then next door to the left is my stepdaughter's bedroom, which again, I just sort of let her do whatever she wanted with. So she picked a lovely light blue, and then we painted clouds on the wall together,
nice.
Which was a nice family day
together.
Yeah, that was when we first moved in, so that was when she was quite small, so she's 13 now, but we painted those together, and we were going to redecorate the room recently. She went, oh, I really want to keep them. So we're going to keep the little clouds on. And then she's got, this was a big cupboard here. We're going to knock all this out as well because she doesn't use any of that
space.
So that's
a big, huge fitted wardrobe with a little cubbyhole for
she's
a desk in it.
She's taking a lot of space. Well, it was all cupboards when we moved in. So we knocked that out first to create her a little desk area. And then we just knocked this little seating area out last year. Just so she can sort of sit and read and
it's a
out.
Brilliant idea if you've got fitted wardrobes you don't want, particularly in kids' rooms, because actually what you can do, and you've taken the doors off, but you can keep the door on and then you can literally shut the screen
like
away
closet.
At night.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can make them put their phones in there and all the blue light and stuff is completely out of sight.
They're just quite cumbersome cupboards, so it's taken up a lot of space, and just giving it that bit of depth has really kind of opened the room up, so...
But again, you've encouraged Lola to come up with her own colours and come up with her own design. It's really good, isn't it?
I went shopping the other day and she chose all these new little pillows. I said, look, let's go to H&M Home. And she picked all of these little pillows and throws that she liked and bits for her chair. So, yeah, I don't want to sort of prescribe how they should have their space, and especially as a teenager. So I just sort of let her crack on with it, really. And then I do have to tidy up in this room quite a lot.
It's not an
She's 13. Yeah.
Next up, Fern, tell us about your new TV show. I want to know all about it. We're so spoilt with another Interiors TV show coming.
Know.
It's been like buses. There's been none for years, and now suddenly,
we're back
here
on.
They all come.
And Sophie's on it, which
and
is
I'm
just
on
genius.
It. Did you know that?
Had you mentioned that?
I don't know.
Just a few times.
She doesn't want to know because she's upset.
I'm not on it.
Hopefully we'll do another series. You're
oh, right,
on
there
it.
We go.
We're hoping.
I
people like it.
So she's brought her CV and everything.
There you go. Well, we can pass it on to Michelle and see what she says. So it's called Interior Design Masters, and it was the most fun show I have probably ever filmed. I just absolutely loved it. Yeah, I've done a lot. So it's 10 sort of amateur but very high standard interior designers who all have a very different idea about what they like and a very different background. So students fresh out of university, people who have changed career sort of later on in life and gone into interior design, people sort of running small businesses from their homes, all really different backgrounds, but so, so passionate. And they get given a different project every week to work on either individually or as a team. So starting off with whopping great, totally blank canvas show homes, moving into sort of barbershops, restaurants, university
Real
digs, hotels, you know, big challenging projects. And they had pretty challenging budget, but what they did
was... Nice, healthy
was,
TV budget.
Yeah.
Like, hard
so
to
not. But it really made... But I liked that, because not only is it massively accessible for everybody, like, I came away every time going, oh, my God, I could easily go on eBay and find this and upcycle this, or I could get what I've already got at home and do this to it, because they had to really use their imaginations. And the outcome is just flabbergasting, what they did, like, the most beautiful spaces. And under so much scrutiny, because so not only do we have Michelle Gundahin as the head judge overseeing the whole project.
And just to interject, Michelle was the very, I think, the most long-standing editor of Elle Decoration.
Yeah.
So she comes with an absolute gargantuan
and
amount
she's,
of knowledge.
Oh, trained as an architect as well. So.
Oh, she's, her brain is amazing. And she knows exactly what's what with each of those contestants and with each of those challenges. She knew what was what. You just think, I'm not even messing, just say
so
your
you don't
thing.
Get involved with the judging. You're
God,
there
no. Who am I? You've seen my house. No, I'm literally just there guiding them through it. I'm, you know, for the designers, I'm their mate, I'm their with them, watching them take part.
Did
and
it get
then,
quite emotional for them?
Oh my God. I mean, there were tears, hysterics. I mean, it was...
Hysterics?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
which episode?
But you know people...
Like quite a few. Because they so wanted to get... Yes. So at the end, they get this big contract with the big London hotel to redesign
Is
the whole
the
bar.
Is that the prize at the end of the
it's
series?
A big proper job contract. So it was huge. And they so wanted it, and they'd invested so much time and emotion and love into it that... They just wanted it so bad. And they'd also become great friends. So when, you know, someone was rejected, and because each week a designer would go, it was like high drama, massive emotion. And we'd have a lunch break and then have to start filming again. And everyone was a bit drained and like a lot of hugs going on. It was bonkers.
Oh, can't wait.
Incredible. I loved
When's it
every
on?
Minute. So it starts this August 2019, be on BBC Two and Netflix.
And tell us the name again.
It's called... Interior Design Masters.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
We are super proud to have completed our third series and equally proud to be able to tell you there is a fourth on the way. It really is down to you listeners who have kept us going and buoyed us up with your wonderful comments, so please don't stop. Please do rate, review and subscribe. And a particular thanks goes to AliceMac19, who left this lovely review over on Apple Podcasts. Here it goes. I always felt there was something a bit pretentious about interior design, she says in brackets, sorry. Maybe all the jargon or the idea that it's only for people with pots of cash, but this show is just the bee's knees for anyone who is renovating. I'm getting so many valuable tips and ideas and even the confidence to go colour crazy.
Ooh.
Even if you're not really into interiors, these ladies are just great to listen to.
Oh, that's job nice. Done.
Well, she can come back.
Yeah,
yes, we like her.
We'll go round our house.
Now, it's Sophie's favourite bit.
Oh, yes.
Spotlight on Fern.
Oh, God.
Design crimes.
So, Fern, this is our regular segment that we have every podcast, and it is just a bit of fun, but usually it's Kate and I thinking of something, or quite often our listeners write in with their design crime, and it's what you find just a little bit irksome and a little bit wrong in the world of interior design that you'd like to put in the Design Crime Room 101.
Okay, so I have sort of styles that I don't like, which is that sort of very modern, like with chrome and very stark surfaces, just not
what, like a glassy
into.
Dining table.
Even just like kitchens that are very like sleek and modern, I'm just not interested. But also, I really don't like leather sofas.
Oh, contentious.
Don't like them.
What is it about the leather sofa?
The noise, the texture, the look of them. There's not much I do like. And that's, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. Just personally,
yeah.
I don't like
she does not like
a leather
noise.
Sofa.
It's quite good if you tip a glass of red wine over
that's
it.
That's handy. You'd like for kids.
Yeah.
Not
the red wine in the kitchen.
No, not the red wine. No.
Back up, listeners. Back up.
Rewind.
Run
me now. For wipe clean. But yes. I don't like them.
God,
there
interesting.
You go. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Well, who are we to argue with that?
We wouldn't. So there'll be lots more about what we've talked about today, how to be happy in your home, and Fern's favourite colours for interiors on the blogs at madaboutthehouse.com and sophierobinson.co.uk.
And thanks so much to our fabulous sponsors, DFS. Thanks to our producer, Kate Taylor, and a huge thank you to you, our lovely listeners. And a special thanks to this week's super guest. Thanks, Fern.
Thank you. And we'll see you in the great indoors.
Bye.